Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:45. That is Pacific Standard Time, and today is January 26th. And Gong Qi Fat Cai for anyone who is celebrating Chinese New Year. Now, of course, the Chinese market is going to be closed tomorrow, and the mainland market will be closed for all of next week, and Hong Kong will be closed for at least a couple of days, so will Taiwan and Singapore and other related markets. But today, what I thought I would kick off with is to talk a little bit about Italy, because sovereign spreads are beginning to widen out again, and there was a much reported report released by Mediobanca during the week, and it has crossed my desk, but it's watermarked, so I'm precluded from posting it on the site. But they're making some very interesting points about the way that debt is structured in the EU now, that these collective action clauses have been imposed, which on the one hand avoids the potential outcome that Argentina had, where you had holdout bondholders that would not accept any form of deal and insisted on being paid back their full principal. And that resulted in the negotiation of Argentina's bankruptcy just being prolonged and dragged out for a very long time. So that has been to a large extent removed. On the other hand, what it also does is it gives creditors a great deal of influence on any negotiation that might occur in future. And from that perspective, it is very much in the interests of creditors to have these collective action clauses imposed on issuers of debt. And all new Eurozone debt the ECB, the EU, have insisted that all new debt being issued in the EU after 2013 had to have these CACs imposed. So Mediobanca went through and did this very interesting assessment of what would it cost Italy to leave the euro, and it comes out at about 200 billion euro this year, but that number will increase if it keeps going on, because as debt is rolled forward, any old debt that expires will be replaced by new debt that has got these CACs imposed on them. And the assumption that they made was that there would be potentially a 30% revaluation of the lira, of a new lira. And I thought that then it would be interesting to look at the historic chart of the lira, and also the if we were to redenominate the euro into lira, what would it look like? And we can see very clearly that the lira was trading at almost 2,250 lira to the euro, to the dollar, excuse me, before the euro was adopted. And despite everything that has happened in the last few years, it is still trading at 1,800 lira to the dollar. And there is this assumption, and something that we talk about at the chart seminar is targets. And when you ask people, what do you think? They will often say 30%, because 30% seems like a reasonable number. And in fact, if you look at the pound's devaluation over the last 2 years, it's about 30%. 30% would take the lira to just below where it was before, below where it was trading ahead of the introduction of the euro. And if we were to ask ourselves a very simple question, and it is very simple indeed, is Italy in a better or worse position today than it was in 2003? Then who's to say that it might be 30%? That would only take it back to where it was in 2003. Maybe it would be even more than that. So then that would, of course, upset the recalculation. Italy would make much more money on the domestic debt that it has been able to, that has so far avoided the CACs. But then there is the additional fact that there has been a drive to repatronize debt. And 60% of all of Italy's debt is now held within the country. If that can get up more, if they can repatronize more of their debt, they may actually be able to impose a solution on their other creditors. So this is a very liquid situation. And these are rather nuclear options when we start thinking about, what is it that Italy might do in the event that it does leave the euro. These are useful, but they are nuclear options. The appetite for Italy leaving the euro has been rather sporadic, but what we are seeing now is that BTP spreads over bunds are widening out, and we have seen them go up to 500 basis points in the last few years, and it required very clear and aggressive intervention by the ECB to pull those yields back down. Perhaps the most important thing on that chart is that whereas there had been almost no spread over bonds between 1998 and 2008, and now there is a clear higher low at 100 basis points, and it looks increasingly likely that people are going to try and express the view. They're going to test the resolve of the EU. What is it that they're going to do? What will the EU do if we continue to sell these Italian bonds and really put pressure on the system? What is going to happen? This is because, this is also something we talk about at the chart seminar. When the market sees a wounded doe, do all the wolves come around and say, "Oh, let us give you some of our money, bring you to the doctor and see how you're going to be later on, and we'll all be good friends"? No, they don't. When there's blood in the water, and the market is predatory, and they see that there is an inconsistency within the entire euro project, and it looks like they are going to try and pressure it. There is a great institutional willingness within Europe to ensure that the euro survives. But what it is likely to mean is that there will have to be some form of debt forgiveness, and there will have to be some realization that fiscal austerity is just not the way that it is going to happen. That there is going to have to be some form of stimulus, because Europe needs jobs more than anything else. If they could secure jobs for the legions of people that are unemployed, then a lot of the problems facing the region would evaporate. And we have to bear that in mind when we look at the euro, because it was down 76 ticks today, but the most important point is that the medium-term progression of lower rally highs is still intact. We have had a really quite impressive reversionary rally, and it has closed the majority of the overextension relative to the trend mean. It hasn't quite closed it all yet. Maybe it goes up and closes it all the way. That's potentially an outcome, but then we would either have to have a significant deterioration in the dollar or a significant improvement in the outlook for the euro. And the ECB needs a weaker currency. The USA might like a weaker currency, but they don't need it. Europe needs a weaker currency. And Japan needs a weaker currency. What we are definitely seeing, though, in Japan is that the stock market is outperforming. It is no longer a one-to-one correlation, that the stock market has benefited from the extent of the devaluation so far. It will benefit even more if the yen continues to depreciate. But the Nikkei now does look like it is going to follow the Dow Jones and push through the 20,000 level. That this has been so far a pretty shallow reaction. Perhaps the most important point is that we are seeing a number of sectors looking much more. And I think it's sectors that are leveraged to global growth are looking up. I think would be the most accurate way of describing it. For example, when we look at private equity, private equity companies did fantastically well because they were able to avail of very low interest rates. They were able to avail of extraordinary liquidity that allowed them to borrow money at very attractive levels and invest it at a much higher yield, and they were able to pick up the carry and did very well as a result. Bond tapering, or excuse me, Fed tapering of bond purchases, and then the collapse in oil prices took a toll. But with the election of a much more business-friendly administration in the U.S., we're definitely starting to see that the publicly listed private equity sector is doing better. Even Allied Mines here in the U.S., in the U.K., has broken back above the 400 P level and is now testing the region of the 200-day moving average. Apollo Group has held a progression of higher reaction lows for a year. Blackstone has really only broken up out of its year-long base formation following the U.S. election. Carlyle Group is just trading back above the trend mean. So we're starting to see commonality here. Icahn Enterprises trading back above the trend mean for the first time since 2014. KKR pretty similar in that it has held a progression of higher reaction lows for a year. So this is a different scenario. This is quite different. Then what can we say if we then think about what other sectors are leveraged to global growth? Well, certainly the resources sector, the steel sector, the iron ore sector, industrial resources. They have all been doing very well over the last year. But if we have stronger economic growth, then companies start to do better. So then that's private equity. And if companies are doing better and they're hiring more people and wages are increasing, then luxury goods sales start to improve as well. And there has been very clear winners and losers between the in the luxury goods sector. Some, like the luxury automotive companies, are only now breaking progressions of lower rally highs and starting to pull away from base formations. Others have been clear outperformers. Burberry is now somewhat overbought in the short term, and Christian Dior, LVMH, but and Richemont have also been doing well. But then that has to be contrasted with those that had very large pullbacks in 2015 and most of 2016 and are only now just breaking out. And Hugo Boss is certainly one of those. It does look like it is completing a base formation. And we are seeing, for the first time in a few years, evidence of base formation completion in a significant number of these luxury goods companies. And Prada trended lower for really over 3 years and then just ranged for almost a full year and broke out 3 weeks ago. So we are seeing evidence of base formation completion in an increasing number of sectors, and that's good news because it increases the potential that the breakout that we've seen in the Dow Jones will be sustained, that the breakout that we've had in the S&P 500 will be sustained. Google today was the subject of some selling pressure. And that has not quite updated yet, so let's pull that up on the Bloomberg. And that had also been doing rather well. But when we look at the intraday chart, we can see some evidence of some intraday trading that is somewhat out of character, and that it is now down in after hours trading. That is a significant decline. It's down $15. So despite the fact that it is not going to show up on the daily chart, we can anticipate that we are going to get some consolidation beginning to unfold. And of course, we are now in earnings season, and we can expect that the quantity of single stock volatility is likely to increase. But when we look at Google's price chart and that it has these successions of lengthy ranges, one above another, we can still see that there's a progression of higher reaction lows over the last few years, and that it would really need to sustain a move below the trend mean, and not just come back and test it to question the medium-term upward bias. If the euro was weaker today, then the dollar was a bit firmer, and it is now trading back above the 100 level, and that is an upside key day reversal. It is not of the same magnitude as the one that we saw last month, so we absolutely need to see upside follow through tomorrow. If we do indeed see that upside follow through, well, then that will confirm demand coming back in here at the 100 level. That weighed on the precious metals today. Gold prices were down and down about $10. This continues to look like a consolidation now in the region of the trend mean, following what has been an impressive counter trend rally. This is the big ask. This is exactly where one would anticipate there to be some resistance encountered. That has indeed happened. Now, this is the big question, whether it is going to be able to sustain the higher reaction low. Will it be able to consolidate in a relatively tight fashion and then push on through the 200-day moving average later? If the dollar continues to rally, that will represent a headwind. And if gold can rally in that scenario, then that would be very clear confirmation that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. But it is really for the bulls to prove in here right now. Platinum prices were able to recoup the majority of the decline today, and they really do need to sustain a move above 1,000. That is a big psychological level. It's the region of the trend mean and the progression of lower rally highs. If you can do that, then we could conclude that it's back in a demand-dominated environment. But that is still yet to be proven. And oil prices were also a bit firmer in here today, up about $1. This continues to look like a consolidation above the underlying trading range. It is unwinding the short-term overbought condition the longer that it goes sideways. And the oil price is finally balanced between the outlook for continued economic growth and accelerating economic growth compared to the potential for supply to increase as a result of continued drilling in North America. And that would suggest that there is potential for it to move higher from here, but that any rally is likely to be short-term in nature because of the wall of supply that can be unleashed the higher the prices go. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.